Welcome back, everyone, to the sixth episode of Aspire, the Leadership Development Podcast, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper. This week, I'm so excited to be joined by Danny Steele, the principal of Thompson Sixth Grade Center in the Alabaster City School System, a public speaker and a blogger on Steele Thoughts. Danny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Joshua, I really appreciate you having me on. It's quite an honor to be with you.
So you've been in education for 25 years. I would love to hear your personal leadership journey and how you became an administrator.
Well, I taught history for 4 years. I taught and coached for 4 years in an inner city high school in Birmingham. And then the next 4 years, I taught and coached at a junior high school in really what's the most affluent suburb of Birmingham. And so I sort of went from one end of the demographic spectrum to the other. My eighth year of teaching, I decided I was interested in looking at possibility of administration. So I went to UAB here for a year to get an add-on certificate to my master's. As taking those leadership classes, I just sort of got the bug. And so I immediately began looking for assistant principal positions and found one. I actually got hired in September of 2001. So it was a month into that school year. And I was a high school AP for 10 years and in several different high schools in various settings. I was a high school principal for 3 years. And the last 4 years I've been at a sixth grade school. We've got 500 sixth graders. So it's been a great experience. I feel like I've been able to work with a lot of great kids and certainly some awesome staff members.
What led you from the high school to the middle school level?
I had been a high school administrator for 13 years. You understand all of the extracurricular responsibilities that go with that. My superintendent at the time, he's still my superintendent, but he had told me several times that working at different levels had given him a great experience and perspective moving into central office. And I had told him early on that if there was an opportunity, he thought I'd be a good fit at a lower level, I'd be interested. And the opportunity came up. It was really a great change of pace for me. Certainly it gave me more time with my own family. So it's been a great fit.
As you transitioned from a teacher to an administrator, what do you think was the most surprising aspect of the job?
A couple things. One, as a teacher, you can sort of control your to-do list. You know, you can plan your lessons, you can spend the time that you want planning your lessons. You control, for the most part, your assessments, and you grade your papers on your time frame for the most part. How you spend your time is under your control. At least that was my experience. As an administrator, I felt like early on there was very little under my control. I was reacting to lots of different crises on campus. You know, my time did not seem to be my own. I was sort of chasing things for other people. So that was one big adjustment. I felt so inadequate my first year as an AP because I just was not getting everything done. That was very uncomfortable for me. You know, when you take pride in what you do, when you're conscientious, as you know, most educators are, and if you're in a situation where you're going home and you've gotten to all of the discipline referrals, it can be a little bit demoralizing at first because you just feel inadequate. So working through that process was an adjustment. The other big adjustment I would say is that as a teacher, my goal was to win over the students. Every teacher, we got into education because we want to connect with kids. We love the students, and that's our passion. As an administrator, it's very, very important to win over the adults in the building. And that's something that did not come natural to me right away because I was thinking as a young AP, I'm not here for the adults. I'm here for the kids. The adults don't need an advocate. They can take care of themselves. The kids are who I'm here for. But I learned after several years some valuable lessons about the importance of supporting the teachers. The teachers are the ones who are doing the really hard work with the kids. And for the most part, your teachers want what's best for kids. What defines you, when I talk to young administrators or aspiring administrators, I tell them that what is going to define you as an administrator is your ability to connect with teachers, support teachers, win over the other adults, all the staff members in your building, custodians, CNP staff, your secretaries, office staff. That is so important. And it doesn't come naturally, I don't think, to young administrators because we're sort of hardwired to be all about the kids. And as an administrator, we're still all about the kids. We love the kids for sure. And we don't ever want to give kids the shaft. you know, if you love kids, that's not something you have to really work at, but you really have to make a concerted effort at winning over, supporting, and connecting with the adults in the building.
No, I think that's a great point. And in line with that, how do you create a culture of improvement and growth with your teachers?
I think the first step for me is that I want to help to create a positive school culture, because in a positive school culture, people want to be there, not just the kids, but the adults want to be there. They enjoy working. And when they enjoy working, I think they're going to work harder. I want to try to figure out a way to tap into the professional pride of the teachers, you know, inspire them to just hone their craft, work at what they're doing, and create the conditions where they have the ability to collaborate with their peers, where they have the resources and tools they need. I try to communicate to the teachers that what they're doing, when they're excelling in the classroom, it absolutely fires me up. I communicate that over and over and try to provide that positive reinforcement. And so when a teacher will send me a text in the middle of the day, hey, I'm trying a new activity, if you want to come see it, I do everything in my power to get down there and see it, give them a high five, fist bump, or whatever, to encourage them that that professional growth absolutely is awesome and the kids benefit from it.
So I've had the pleasure of seeing your rap and dance videos. Where did that idea originate from? And why did you think it was important to get out of your comfort zone?
I went to undergraduate in Covenant College up on Lookout Mountain. And it was a small Christian liberal arts college overlooking Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I think this was probably fall of 1989. I was involved in like an inner city ministry going into some neighborhoods in downtown Chattanooga. And, you know, working with 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. So a classmate of mine at my college, she told me that she was going to put the Christmas story to rap. That was her goal. She asked me if I wanted to help her with it. And I always liked, going back as a kid, I always liked making words run. I would just do a little poem and stuff in class. And so I kind of took that challenge to heart. I wrote out this whole Christmas rap, the story of Mary and Joseph and all that. And I did it. And then I started doing it in some churches, and I did an Easter rap and put different Bible stories to rap. And so that's how I got started back, you know, 25, 27, 28 years ago. Well, when I became a public educator, the first rap I wrote as a young teacher had to do with trying to pump students up to take the Stanford Achievement Test. And it was, we just were trying to get the students to care about the test. So the teachers put on a talent show. This was probably like 94, 1994, something like that. The teachers put on a talent show for the students. So I wrote this rap about taking the SAT. And, you know, it went over well. You know, when the students like it, it provides a little bit of encouragement for me to do some more. So it's just something I pull out. The sixth graders, I've done it regularly the last several years here at the sixth grade school, because certainly they like it. So they seem to.
Oh, I bet. So tell us about initiatives that you're currently working on that you find to be creative on your campus.
This is actually a real given me writer's cramp right now. Is my AP and I took this postcard. It's the two of us in a ball pit, and it says, "Welcome to me. It's a great day to be a warrior." And on the back, we're writing little notes to all of our rising sixth graders. We each are trying to write 250 of them, and so. You know, that's obviously a small thing, I guess, but it's going to take a while here writing all of those notes and getting them in the mail. The goal there, obviously, is to connect with some parents and kids before the school year starts and make them excited about coming here. As of right now, we don't have a new initiative starting the school year. Our state last year rolled out a new standardized test. And so this past year was the first year of our teachers working through this new assessment. That our teachers work really hard. They've got their hands full. Sometimes it's good just to not have initiatives. Try to master what you got going. So right now we're trying to send out some postcards to some students. And that's the only thing right now in terms of initiatives that I can think of.
I think individualizing a personal note like that is wonderful for the kids. So you are extremely active on Twitter, and you choose to share many positive messages on social media. I'm curious how you found your voice beyond the campus.
That's a good question. A little over 2 years ago, I guess it was 2 years ago this past March, I sort of heard from two different people who encouraged me about Twitter. My brother, who I'm very close to, encouraged me to start to network with other educators outside of my system and outside of Alabama. And he just thought that there was a lot of good that could come from networking as I moved forward in my profession. And then I was at an ASCD conference a few weeks later. So this was at ASCD in Atlanta a little over 2 years ago. And I heard a guy named Todd Whitaker speak. And he made the comment that Twitter's the best PD out there for teachers, free 24/7 PD. And he said that's what the best educators are doing. So I thought to myself, I want to be one of the best educators. I got on Twitter, and I used to think I was good at what I did. Like, I felt pretty confident in what I did as a principal. And I got on Twitter and started following these principals around the country and saw what they were doing. And it made me feel downright inadequate. It was so inspiring to me. There were things that principals and APs and teachers were doing around the country that just had never crossed my mind, but they were just so awesome. And it opened up my, you know, it really broadened my horizons as to what was possible as an educator. And in terms of the stuff that I tweet and finding my voice, one of the things that I'm passionate about in our school is keeping us all grounded in our core values. I took our staff through an exercise called the Teacher's Oath, where we eventually wrote our own professional oath. I've got my principal's oath on my door. And it's the things that we believe in at our core. It's the things that drive us coming to work each day. It's what we're about. And I think it's important for us to always be mindful of that. When you're grounded in your core values, I think everything else flows from that. I'm not great at sharing resources necessarily. I'm not brilliant with pedagogy, but what I do like to do is talk about some of the values of educators, some of the things that drive what we do every day. And so that's kind of what motivates me.
So this podcast is intended for those who are looking to aspire to be something more than they currently are. For those starting their leadership journey, what advice do you have?
There's a sign above my door that says, "I'm the difference." And I wear a bracelet every day that says, "I'm the difference." I would give it out to kids. When kids would come in my office, I tried to cultivate this tradition of having them touch the sign when they left. Sometimes I have teachers, you know, that I want to touch the sign when they leave. That's significant to me because it is the ultimate sort of message of empowerment that whatever happens today, we're the variable and we can make a difference just by who we are, by what we do and how we interact with those around us, that we really can make a difference. And so, you know, as a teacher, you're making a difference with the students in your classroom. And certainly you make a difference with your colleagues based on how you interact with them. As a school administrator, you're trying to make a difference on a bigger scale with all the students, but with all the staff members, with the custodians, with your secretary, with your maintenance tech. It's important to have an awareness about the potential that you have really to make a difference, and that the attitude that you bring, the energy that you bring, is going to impact everyone around you.
What is the most joyful thing about being a leader?
Without question, it's the relationships. You know, we got into education to connect with kids, make a difference with kids. As an administrator, if you're in the hallways, if you're in the classrooms, in the lunchroom, at carpool, you will get to connect with kids, and you'll get to do a lot of high fives and fist bumping, and some of the kids will want to come up and hug you. And so those are great connections, and certainly those I think bring us joy. But we talk about teachers who have light bulb moments, and you know, in the classroom when the lesson clicks, and that's a rewarding moment for teachers. Well, administrators don't quite have those same light bulb moments with kids because we're not in the classroom. But for administrators, for me, my light bulb moments with the adults is when I can do something to lighten their load, when I can do something to support them, to make their job easier. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel like my day was worthwhile, that I made a difference, and that brings me joy.
How can our listeners connect with you on social media?
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Steel Thoughts, STEELE Thoughts, Steel Thoughts. My blog is steelthoughts.com.
Please continue to check out the Aspire podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes and share your ratings and reviews. Don't forget to use the Aspire Lead hashtag as you continue the conversation on Twitter. Danny, thank you so much for being on the program.
Joshua, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun talking with you. Appreciate what you do to inspire and empower future leaders.